From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Clamouring for Kane? All aboard the Lukaku train. And can Antonio's form maintain? All that and more on this week's pod. Well, what a week in terms of news and results. Hello, everyone, and welcome along to this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. With Game Week 3 fast approaching, followed by the first international break of the season, I think this week's panellist advice could be even more important. Joining me, Kelly Summers, this week is FPL Family's Lee Bonfield.
Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. We're also saying a very warm welcome back to journalist Lars Sivertsen. Lars, good to have you back.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me back.
And it's hello again for the first time this season to Adrian Clark.
Yeah, great to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Well, everyone is sounding quite chipper this week because everyone had pretty strong weeks. Lars got 62, Lee 76, and myself and Adrian just edging it with 78. Let's start with you though, Lee, because we had a Bruno and a Salah blank on the surface, given their fixtures. We didn't really see that one coming, did we?
No, we didn't. I must admit, I was a Salah captainer, as I'm sure many were in the community. So I was kind of hiding behind the sofa on that Man United game, hoping that Bruno didn't do too well. Had him in my team, but I don't need to do too well. But on another day, Salah could have had points. He had one ruled out for VAR. There was another where he came pretty close, one cleared off the line by Dwight McNeil. So I'm not panicking too much on either of them. However, as we're going to discuss in a little while, I guess, there are other premiums that I've got my eye on. So there will be a lot of FPL managers thinking about moving these guys on.
Yeah, Adrian, you've actually only got Salah and no Bruno. But as Lee said there, I'm wondering now if this leaves us in a bit of an interesting situation where some of us have gone heavy on our midfields, which you had with Havertz and Son as well. But with Romelu Lukaku's debut, I'm very sorry to have to bring this up because I know you are a gooner, but his debut against Arsenal at the weekend is giving us a lot of headaches. Should he be straight in our teams?
He was frightening, wasn't he? He was so good. Eight shots from Romelu Lukaku in the game, seven of them from inside the box. And one thing that really stood out, because I was at the game, was the way Chelsea just wanted to feed him all of the time. They were knocking the ball into his feet. I mean, Arsenal didn't do a very good job of shielding the service. But what they did, the movement around Lukaku was designed to get him on the ball and get him 1v1 with defenders. I'm absolutely angling to get Romelu Lukaku in my team, but I think it might take a couple of weeks of rejigging. But yeah, I think the midfield heavy picks may change in the coming weeks. I'm sure lots and lots of players will follow suit because with Lukaku available, it's impossible to ignore what he'll bring. Because he got 11 assists as well last season in Italy. So he's not just a goal scorer. I think he's going to be a tremendous FPL player.
Talking of goal scorers, someone that we perhaps didn't expect to be the top scorer after two game weeks. Over 600,000 managers have brought Mikel Antonio in this week. Three goals, and also, of course, he provides assists as well. So West Ham's record goal scorer. Is he becoming essential, Lars?
Yeah, he is. He is for me. It's just one of the things I've gotten right so far this season. And you can go slightly, you know, further back in time and look at the second half of last season. I've looked up the XG here from the 1st of January until the end of the season. And of the players who played regularly, he had the second highest average expected goals per 90, second only to have Harry Kane in the league. So there's not a fluke that Antonio is playing well and getting into good positions and scoring goals. I think as long as he's fit and as long as he's, you know, healthy, yeah, he should be in your team.
It's interesting, isn't it, Lee? Because having this conversation, we're a few minutes into the podcast, I can already feel that there's going to be a bit of a shift in the FPL landscape. We know more than we did after just one game week, and we can now spot some trends, plus throw in the emergence of Lukaku and a bit more certainty on Kane, which we'll come to in a little bit more detail shortly. Do you think some of the more template teams that we saw at the beginning of the season are going to change? And we are, as you've said, going to have to shift our funds a little bit. We could even see some early wildcards.
Yes, I do think the template's going to change, Kelly. Yeah, and I'm all for it, frankly. I think certainly I was playing relatively safe, I think, in the first couple of weeks. I think the highly owned picks as well that a lot of FPL managers have got have performed. You know, Salah and Fernandes in the first week is a good example of that. So anything that kind of comes along and shakes the template up that tempts FPL managers into wildcards and increases the variance between our teams is a good thing. And we have two really big factors now in terms of Lukaku and Kane both coming in to shake that template up. So I'm all for it. I think it's great.
That's someone trying to get themselves up the rankings. I can hear it. You're encouraging some rogue picks. Well, it is going to be interesting, that is for sure. A reminder to make all of those decisions by 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday, the 28th of August. That's the start of game week 3, which we're looking at in detail next. Okay, so let's check out some of the standout fixtures for game week 3. And I think we should really start with Spurs versus Watford, which takes place on Sunday. Adrian, I know this is one you're intrigued by. Well, everyone's intrigued by it, frankly. We have to talk about Harry Kane. He tweeted on Wednesday around 1 p.m, just put a bombshell, didn't he, out there on Twitter, that he will be staying at Spurs this summer. He said he thanked the support at the weekend, and he said he's happy to be there and to help the team. He came off the bench. Does he start? Do we now have to have him?
I think, do we have to have him is a big question. Because can anybody out there have Kane, Lukaku, Salah and Fernandes? No, they can't. That's impossible. So no, no. I think it might be a case of Kane or Lukaku moving forwards. But it might be a good time to bring him in. I would imagine that he will get a start, and that the supporters at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium will be so buoyant, so excited by this news, that it could be a really feverish atmosphere that could bring the best out of Tottenham and potentially Kane. So I personally, if I was in Nuno's shoes, would bring him back. It wasn't a stellar performance at Wolves, was it? They sort of nicked that win. So yeah, I would expect him to play. It's whether you believe he's up to speed, I guess, because he hasn't had much of a pre-season. I personally would be having a watching brief on Kane this weekend, but I wouldn't blame anybody for bringing him back, because it would be such a story, wouldn't it, if he were to return and bang in some goals. And let's be honest, and I know you're a Watford fan, Kelly, this looks home win all the way, doesn't it? based on what Watford did at Brighton, which wasn't a great deal, it does feel as if this is a comfy home win. So yeah, I'm definitely keeping Son Heung-min. I'll certainly keep him, even though his goal record goes from 1-2 without Kane to 1-3 with him. I will stick with him for this week. But yeah, there are one or two interesting picks, I think, around Spurs. Dele Alli, good value, I think, at 6.5. And maybe the defenders, because as we've seen already, Nuno sets his team up very well. They're well organised, and yeah, I could see Tottenham having a clean sheet here for sure. So Reguilón, Tanganga would be of interest.
It's interesting because at the moment Kane's ownership is so low, it's less than 10%. He's almost a differential. I'm not sure how many times in the past we'd be able to say that about Harry Kane. But yeah, I understand your kind of reticence to go for him, particularly with Lukaku in the game at the moment as well. It's interesting though, you mentioned Dele Alli. I think a few people got a bit excited about him, about his price point. He got his first league goal in 17 months, but that was from the penalty spot, and surely Kane is now on penalties as well. What about you, Lee? I know that obviously the other half of FPL family is a big Spurs fan. She went for Son early in the season. How should we be looking at Son now? As Adrian said there, it might not necessarily help him, or does he become more attractive, less attractive? How do you feel about him?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Certainly, I think I agree with Adrian. The fans will all welcome him back with open arms. Certainly, Sam was very excited to see the tweet that came out the other day.
No shock.
No doubt about it. Yeah, no shock at all to anybody. But you're right to point out the effect it will have on Son, I think. I mean, Nuno's been playing with that front three of Moura and Son and Bergwijn. So reasonably good effect, actually, so far this season. So my question would be, who drops out if Kane is to come in? And if Kane does come in and play in his usual spot, and you'd expect him to play, I agree with Adrian, I think he will play, I think he will start, then how does that affect Son? Well, he's probably going to go out wide again, and we know what Son's like when he goes out wide. Can still get the FPL point, so don't get me wrong, Son owners, don't panic by any stretch of the imagination. And certainly when those two played together, there was a few holes, wasn't there, for both of them last season. But just playing wider and probably not on penalties means for me that I think it might just put me off of Son a little bit. And I'd be interested to see, with those two playing together, how much that affects Dele Alli's game. Will he get forward as much as he has been? So I think the upshot of all of that is that I'm going to wait to see what Nuno's Spurs with Kane looks like. I quite liked the new Spurs without Kane, actually. And I think Nuno was doing a pretty good job. And he'd obviously worked on all pre-season without Kane. So yeah, he's got to adapt again to put him back into his side. So I'm going to wait and see what that looks like.
I have slight sort of wider concerns about Tottenham as an attacking outfit in general. I mean, for me, it's a little bit being on the wait and see list. And I know the first game was against Man City, so you can't really judge anything. And in the second one, they scored an early goal, so maybe you expect them to sit back. But I'm not. I'm still on the wait and see to how Tottenham under Nuno actually play and how attacking a team they're going to be. Because judging by the first games, they're going to play quite conservatively. And I do wonder with the other premium assets available, do you really want to sink the kind of money you need into Harry Kane and even Son, if that's how they're going to go about it?
One really interesting stat to emerge is that they've faced the most shots so far. 43 shots, yeah. Tottenham have faced. So is that sustainable? Obviously, Lloris has pulled off, I think, the most saves. So even though I recommended Tottenham defenders this weekend because of the Watford game, maybe in the long term that might be a risky move given the fact they're going to absorb so much pressure.
Okay, so plenty to ponder when it comes to Spurs. I just rechecked Harry Kane's price then, down to 12.3. Surely that's the cheapest we're going to get him. So if you are someone looking at price rises and trying to get him while he's cheap, maybe now is a good time to go, that these guys are still kind of waiting to see. Okay, moving on, and regular listeners to the podcast won't be surprised that when we asked which fixture Lee Bonfield wanted to talk about, he wants to talk about Liverpool-Chelsea. Now, Lee, this is many people's standout game of the weekend, and this is fascinating, isn't it, from an FPL point of view?
Oh, I think it is, yeah, and that's why I threw my hat into the ring early for this game, because it's a real heavyweight clash, isn't it? I mean that in every sense of the word. If you think about Lukaku and how he, in his words, dominated that Arsenal back line in game week two. And he did. It was, you know, if ever there was a game where you've seen a striker boss two centre halves, it was that game. Now, you're going to come up against some pretty a different proposition, right? It's got Virgil van Dijk and Matip at the weekend. So I'm kind of interested to see how he gets on there. And that's why I won't be going into Lukaku for game week three. I think obviously going away to Liverpool is a difficult fixture. But if he scores in that game, there is going to be a clamour for him in game week four, where they go to Stamford Bridge, isn't it? They're home to Aston Villa. Some difficult fixtures after that. But it's game week seven where Lukaku and the rest of his Chelsea teammates, I think, are really going to come to the fore. And maybe we'll talk about that a bit more in the long view. But for this game in particular, Lukaku's already featuring in all of the top stats tables, right? So he's top for goal attempts. He's, as Adrian said before, 8 goal attempts against Arsenal alone. So even though he's only played one of the two games, he's right up there. What's interesting for me, though, is the way that he is having an effect on the rest of the team. So I'm interested to see over the next couple of game weeks how it affects Werner and Havertz and Mason Mount as well, who's going to be on a lot of the set pieces. So there's a lot to pick from there from the Chelsea midfield. But in particular, we know what we're going to get from Tuchel in wide areas. We know that he's going to play those wing-backs. And Reece James in particular, 18 points in game week two. Absolutely ridiculous performance. A goal, assist, a clean sheet. Maximum bonus points, which I think was the biggest of his career to date, his best FPL haul. And I think if he can hold down that spot, which I think that he can, because I think Tuchel really wants to invest in the younger players, I think he could be one to watch. 5.5 for Reece James. So he's in that kind of Luke Shaw bracket. So if you're getting itchy feet about Luke Shaw, which I am a little bit, I have to say, after the first 2 weeks for Manchester United, that could be a nice sideways move.
Another decision we've got when it comes to Liverpool is we've all very much enjoyed over the past opening couple of game weeks having Tsimikas in Andy Robertson's absence. Is it now time to get rid, Lars? I know you don't have him, but are those owners that do have him, should we be getting rid of him with Robertson coming back from injury?
Yeah, I didn't get on him from the start, which in hindsight was a mistake. It's pretty clear now, but I do think with Robertson having been observed, you know, in training, running and this sort of thing, you know, the return of Robbo is nigh, whether it happens this weekend or not. I mean, it remains to be seen. If I had him, I wouldn't necessarily spend a substitution getting him out, especially if you have a sort of backup defender on your bench that might realistically get you some points. But I absolutely wouldn't consider bringing him in if you're not already on there, because that goes to another theme of the episode, doesn't it? What to do with your transfers. And I'm not entirely sure spending a transfer on a player who may or may not be in the team for much longer is the thing to do.
Yeah, he has risen to 4.2 million. So if you do want to sell him, now could be a good time to sell him to get the price rise before, as managers get rid of him, it goes down. Jota has started well, 2-2. Is he a little bit risky for us, Adrian? Or could he provide a good option or an alternative to Mo Salah if you can't get the funds to go to him?
I think so, yeah. I think if you've got Fernandes but no Salah, then get Jota on board. But the issue remains, doesn't it, that only three of the four really start, don't they, in Firmino, Salah, Mane and Jota. So there is a little bit of rotation to consider. And I still feel that he's probably the junior member of that quartet, Jota, even though he started the season excellently and really as the main striker, hasn't he? He's the one that's getting into that six-yard box to sniff out the goal. So I think in the short term, he's good value if you don't have Salah. But I just don't understand anyone that hasn't got Salah because he's such a prolific point scorer, isn't he? But yeah, terrific value, I think, at the price. And yeah, if Salah were to get injured, my first port of call would probably be Diogo Jota.
I would actually argue that at the price, he's kind of, I mean, it's a really fiddly price point, isn't it? The 7.5, he's gone up to 7.6 now. That sort of mid-price midfield is one of the great sort of the great traps of FPL. I mean, that's where you can really easily come unstuck because there are so many really tempting options, but you know, not they don't always deliver. I mean, yeah, having Jota in the team is one of the things I've gotten right so far, obviously scoring in both games. And I really do think, I mean, his numbers again last season in his expected goals per 90 was very strong in the second half of the season. And I do think it's actually almost worth eating the risk of rotation because he's so dangerous when he does play. And he's playing almost in a sort of striker role for them. If you can have a guy who plays for as good an attacking team as Liverpool, who's at 7.6, who plays almost like a striker, I mean, I think the risk of rotation is worth it.
His movement was so intelligent, Lars, as well, wasn't it? Up against Ben Mee and Tarkowski game week two, the way he ghosted between them for that header from the Tsimikas cross was so good. And we've seen how he can, you know, if you are an FPL owner of Jota and you're worried about him not starting, we've seen how he can come off the bench and do damage last season. So, yeah, no panic at all. Definitely a hold and certainly one to look at in terms of bringing in.
Yeah, just the 5 million between Salah and Jota. Both of them have had price rises. Salah's up to 12.6 million, Jota just 7.6 million. But Salah's owned by over 50% of managers, Jota just over 15% of managers. So maybe a differential as well and a way of covering that Liverpool attack if you're thinking that maybe you can't have Mo Salah, given all of the other premium options. And by the way, Adrian owns Salah and not Bruno. That is why he is saying, of course you have to keep Salah. He's persuading himself as well. Anyway, Lars, moving on. One of the other games of the weekend, Manchester City versus Arsenal. Now, Manchester City have been interesting because I feel like we don't talk about them a great deal, given how prolific they are in attack. They're the champions. We don't seem to talk about them too much because of course, the infamous Pep roulette. Going into the game against Arsenal, should we be looking at getting some of their assets in? And if so, who?
I think it's been very much a wait and see team, and I think that's what we all do this early in the season. We're trying to absorb information, we're trying to learn. I mean, we all had our theories going into the season about who was going to be good and who was going to play and all of this, but now we're actually getting real data from games to supplement our theories, and I'll be watching this game very closely just because we've all been waiting to see with Man City because I think a lot of people assumed they'd get Kane and maybe that changes what they look like. That doesn't look like it's happening. Maybe they're bringing in a striker. I don't know. But which of their midfielders are nailed, which aren't. I see quite a few people started with Riyad Mahrez thinking they could go sideways from him to Son if they wanted to. How central is Jack Grealish going to be? There's so many unanswered questions with City still, on top of the usual Pep Guardiola rotation sort of roulette of doom. I'm not sure I would, again, spend a transfer getting someone in for City ahead of this, but I would watch the game very carefully with my eyes to try to get some sort of idea, again, have another data point for who's actually playing and what their team is looking like.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola made 5 changes to his Manchester City starting 11 for the game against Norwich. And I know that was one, Lee, that a lot of FPL managers were nervous about. What I was most intrigued about was the formation. Gabriel Jesus looked like he was going to start up front, but he didn't. He started on the wing and Torres started up front. Should we be looking at him, perhaps?
Well, this is the interesting point, isn't it? I guess with no Harry Kane there, and it remains to be seen whether City go for another striker in the what remains of the transfer window. But if they don't, then who is going to reprise that role up front? And we've seen it in previous seasons. Pep likes to rotate there, of course. He's played Ferran Torres there so far. And at 7 million, he could be an interesting one to have a look at in terms of game time for Pep. But you know, we've seen Mahrez play there. We've seen Kevin De Bruyne play there in that false nine. Of course, Jesus has played there as well, although he did a very, very good job playing wide right in game week two. So wouldn't surprise me to see him playing there. So it's a very difficult question. And of course, it goes back to what Lars was saying, which is we should all be waiting and watching. Now, the challenge I've got with that is that if you did wait and watch for game week two, then you missed out on some FPL points because, you know, the 5-0 win meant that, you know, they did share the points around their city, but there were some points to be had. And I can't help but feel that if we continue to sit and wait and watch and see what they do and, all right, you've got to try and second guess Pep, we'll be doing that all season. So my view is Torres at 7 million, I think, represents very good value. And I think he'll spend his fair share of time out of position in that forward position. But also Jack Grealish, I've got him in my team at 8 million and at £100 million in real life, if you like, there's no way that he's going to be rotating him too much. So my view is pick a City asset, stick with it, and the points will come eventually.
Very quickly, Adrian, Arsenal point of view, don't worry, we don't have to go over the games so far too much. They did, of course, have a big win in the cup in midweek. Is that going to kickstart their season? Is there anyone we should be looking at?
Can we just not go there, Kelly? Can we just not go there? It's just too raw. It's too raw. Look, I don't have an Arsenal player in my squad.
That says it all, I think.
Yeah, it probably does. Look, certainly wouldn't be drafting anyone in for this game. Moving forward, obviously Aubameyang scoring that hat-trick against West Brom in the Cup was a positive. But for me, Alexander Lacazette is playing so well that I don't see how Mikel Arteta, because he was brilliant during pre-season, like I said, then he got COVID and that sort of put him out of it. He's played so well that I don't see him not playing centre-forward if they're both fit. So Aubameyang, I think, is definitely a watch and wait. But no, on this game, it's City players all the way, I think. And Grealish, I'm with Lee. Grealish is maybe the best value, in my opinion, because without De Bruyne, he's got two positions he can play. He can play in one of the attacking three positions or in the midfield three, and I think he's the closest to De Bruyne. So while he's out, I don't see him being rotated as much as the others.
I'm sorry, but if Mr. Arsenal is telling you not to go near Arsenal, then you don't go near Arsenal, especially not in this game week anyway. Shall we move on? Because, Adrian, I'll leave you on this stat. Arsenal have lost their last 8 against City. Okay, so we touched upon the fixtures slightly further in the distance there with Arsenal and how we need to keep an eye on their fixtures. This is now the long view where we do use the fixture difficulty ranking, which you guys can check out on the Fantasy Premier League website to see which teams have a favourable run coming. And topping that this week is Wolves. And I was actually at their game in midweek. They hadn't scored until then. Then they scored 4, admittedly against a much-changed, struggling Nottingham Forest side. But I do wonder if that could spark them into action. Lars, what are you thinking about Wolves?
I hear what you're saying is that they're a potentially interesting team with the fixture list and the fact that they do seem to be trying to play a little bit more attacking under Bruno Lage. But I'm struggling to find exactly what assets we're going for here. I think we're all sort of looking at Jimenez, hoping he will sort of return to his former self, but I'm not sure we're quite there yet. Adama Traore has had an interesting one. He's had a lot of shots so far and gotten into a lot of promising positions, but as is often the way with him, it hasn't really been converted to anything more solid. So for me, I hear what you're saying about the fixtures, but I'm not quite sure which assets we're actually looking at here for Wolves.
Yeah, the numbers are really, really interesting around Wolves. They've only faced 17 shots so far. Remember, they've played Leicester and Spurs, two of the stronger teams in the division. They've faced one of the lowest amounts of shots. And they've had the second most. They've had 42 efforts on goal. This is definitely a new style, Wolves. And it feels as if goals will come if you look at the data. I am slightly in the last camp, though, in terms of, is Raul Jimenez there yet? He is ranked high for shots and key passes so far, but doesn't look his old self as yet. And can you rely on Traore? There is, of course, the option of a Wolves defender if they're not going to concede too many goals and the fixtures are quite kind moving forwards. Now, who do you pick? I think Roman Saiz is probably the guy because of his set-piece prowess. We know over the years that he's picked up a lot of points. from scoring goals at corners. He gets on the end of them. So maybe him or one of the wing backs, maybe Nelson Semedo. But yeah, they're an interesting team, but I don't see many people going all in on Wolves based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, one to watch potentially. Romain Saïss did actually score in midweek from a corner as well. So yeah, maybe that's a sign of things to come. What about West Ham, Lee? Because we've already talked about Mikel Antonio. What a start to the season for them. But it's not just Mikel Antonio, is it? I'm wondering if we should now be doubling or even trebling up. Maybe not defensively. They haven't kept a clean sheet just yet. But Saïd Benrahma has been in brilliant form. And even Fornals, 0.6% owned at the time of recording. He's got a goal and assist. And he's only 6 million. Should we be looking at either of those alongside Antonio?
Yeah, we absolutely should. We absolutely should. They're the most exciting team to watch at the moment so far this season. I mean, Moyes is absolutely getting it right there. And the way that he is deploying his key assets as well. And Antonio, yeah, absolutely. You know, is he a must-have with these fixtures? Yes, I think. I think you need to have him, and he's such good value. I've noticed he's upping his Instagram posts and his TikTok posts, everything. So he's on social media. You know, he looks happy, he looks confident. And for the first time in a long time, whenever I see him going, you know, full Antonio into a full sprint, I don't, you know, last season I was almost kind of cowering. I thought, oh, don't let that hamstring go because I don't want to make a transfer in FPL. But actually, I've got full confidence in his hamstring. There we go. There's a soundbite for you. Full confidence in Antonio's hamstrings so far this season. But you're absolutely right, Kelly. We should be supplementing him with others. Benrahma looked wonderful in pre-season. Really, really good pre-season. And he's almost got, I don't know, this kind of telepathic understanding now with Antonio. The two of them just know where each other are going to be. That second goal last game week, Benrahma knew where to put the ball for Antonio. It was really, really good. So he's great value. He's great value. We've talked about Traore, we've talked about Smith Rowe and others on this podcast, but Benrahma at, I was going to say 6 million, but I got 6.2. A feeling he's had a price rise already.
6.2.
So he's had two price rises already. So yeah, here's a player that the FPL community are getting on, and for good reason. Really good.
And I do think if you're one of the people who are now trying to free up some money to try to get to Lukaku or get to Kane up front, swapping one of your very expensive midfielders for Benrahma, I think, is one of the very viable moves to make to get that. I may currently be looking at my team right now with that sort of move in mind.
Very quickly as well, we've talked a lot about the premium strikers and how we're going to pack them all in. A striker that isn't quite premium but isn't quite cheap is Danny Ings. He's got two goals in two, but Villa's fixtures after this week actually turn a little bit. So bearing in mind the fact we're scrambling around for funds to try and get some of the big hitters in, Lee, is he someone that we think managers might be jumping off potentially this week or next week?
Yeah, could be, Kelly. Could be. I mean, I'm an Ings owner and I feel pretty lucky to have had the points that I've got from him. That 90-something minute penalty, wasn't it, in game week one, which was his only shot on target in that game, by the way. And I think it was only one or maybe two shots on target in game week two as well. And what a shot on target it was, by the way. Fantastic goal. What a bicycle kick. Loved it. And obviously cheered that as an Ings owner going in. But, you know, Aston Villa aren't really creating the chances that I was expecting them to. A lot of creativity coming in, but it's obvious that Dean Smith has got a bit of a job to do there to get Buendia up to speed, to get Leon Bailey up to speed. They've got a lot of changes in that team, right? The talisman leaves, Grealish leaves, and they've got to now figure out what the new Aston Villa looks like this season. And it might take a bit of time for them to create the volume of chances that we, as Danny Ings owners in FPL, want to see. But you're right, the fixtures really swing from game week four. So I won't be selling ahead of Brentford at home, no doubt about it. But with Chelsea, Everton, Manchester United and Spurs coming up after that, yeah, looks like a sideways move to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or maybe even an upgrade to Lukaku, although I'm not sure right now how I would do that, because that's a hell of an upgrade.
I think that just shows how bonkers and brilliant FPL is, doesn't it? The fact that Danny Ings has scored 2-2 and we're already talking about potentially having to move him on, but that's the state of play in FPL at the moment. Now, something else that's important to note when planning ahead as well, FPL managers, is that the Premier League clubs have also agreed not to release players for international matches in red list country. So do watch this space and keep an eye on fantasy.premierleague.com for any further updates. Well, let's take a look now at your responses to this week's FPL pod tweet from @officialFPL on Twitter. This week, we asked you, are you looking at selling Salah or Fernandes? If so, who are you targeting? This literally is the question on everyone's lips. And there were some really mixed replies for this one. Some are saying to be cautious. The One Legend said, watch how the managers without Bruno and Salah get punished next game week. Milky said, who in their right mind would sell Bruno if you started the season with him? If he scored a goal every game for the first 3 weeks, you'd be pretty happy. He has 3 goals in 2 games already. No one can score every single week. Now, Adrian Clark doesn't have Bruno, so I'm not going to ask you this, actually. I'm going to ask Lee. If you had to sell one of Bruno or Salah, who would it be?
No, don't ask me this question. No, I'm not answering that question. I'm not selling either of these
That's
guys.
Not I mean, how the pod on, works.
I know. But Salah has, you know, he could have had a haul last game week, right? So one bad week in what 3.5 years or whatever it is, we've had him in FPL ridiculous. So no, I'm not looking to sell either one of these guys. If you twisted my arm, Kelly, and you said you had to sell one, I probably would sell Bruno. But I think what's been said there by Milky and the others in the tweets is, yeah, 3 goals in 2 games, right, for Fernandes. That's not an asset that I want to sell. Salah, a big haul in game week one and could have had one in game week two, looked dangerous again. So very difficult question to answer. So I'm interested to hear what the other guys are going to say.
Not yet, but look, it's what we mentioned earlier in the pod. It's the great Lukaku thing. I do think, I know it's just one game we're going off, but I think Lukaku is tremendous and is playing for a team that's going to win a lot of games and score a lot of goals, and a lot of those chances are going to fall to him. And I do think you can afford to wait. He does have this run of Liverpool away. Okay, then there's Villa, but then there's Tottenham and Man City. So again, once we get to the much-discussed game week 7, when the fixtures turn in a big way, I really think we're going to end up having to find a way of getting to Lukaku. And I think the only way of doing that is by sacrificing one of Bruno and Salah. I've got both as well. And I have to say, based on what I've seen so far, I think, again, it's Bruno Fernandes who's the one I'm most likely to throw away here, just because, you know, we take him for granted a little bit, Mohamed Salah, but he is just incredible, and he's so reliable and consistent year in, year out, and I can't imagine not having him, whereas you could say very similar things about Bruno Fernandes, but if you have to sacrifice one of them to get to Lukaku for me again, it would be Fernandes.
Yeah, Paul has suggested a way of getting around this, though, in a similar fashion. He said, I've sold Fernandes for Pogba and I'm planning on bringing in Lukaku with the spare funds. Pogba's had a brilliant start to the season, as has Mason Greenwood. Is that a good way? Could we potentially get other United cover, Adrian, and then limit the damage of not having Bruno?
Quite possibly. That's the route I've taken. I've got Mason Greenwood in my side. I think he looks refreshed. He looks ready to be a star this season. Obviously, with no Cavani at the moment, he's getting more of a run in the team, and Martial can't last up front. That can't continue, I don't think. So Greenwood's going to play a lot more. I've been really impressed by Pogba. Pogba looks like a player in total control of his game at the moment, and he's certainly getting forward with greater regularity. He's breaking into the box. He looks super confident. So, yeah, in the past, I've shied away from Pogba in FPL terms, but right now I might be tempted. For me, it's Son is my enabler to either go for Bruno or more likely to get Romelu Lukaku in the weeks to come. I think he's going to be the sacrificial lamb in my team.
Yeah, some of the other moves you guys are making. Dan says Salah and Richarlison out for Lukaku and Grealish, and Rad FPL says I may sell Bruno to get Lukaku. But Lee is saying there is a way to have both. I'm keeping both and I've sold Mahrez and Tony for Lukaku and Canos. I would quite like to see the rest of Lee's team. Well done, though, for getting them all in. A big thanks to everyone who interacted this week. Don't forget to give us a follow on @officialFPL. Keep an eye out for next week's tweet. So the final section of the podcast looks ahead to see what the panellists have done with their teams this week. So come on then, Lars, you've sounded a little bit hesitant. Have you made any transfers? What have you done to your team?
I might actually not make a sub because we're heading into an international break after this. So a lot of things can happen there. And I think it's never a bad thing to have two subs in the bank when you're coming in off an international break, just with regards to injuries and all this sort of stuff that can happen. There are a few things that I would like to fix with my team. And I'm looking at you, Ben White, who's in my defense. Now, I'm not really banking on him playing, but I would feel a lot happier in my life and in the world in general if he was not in my squad. But I've only got one transfer. I wasn't able to save mine last week like a lot of people were able to do, because I'd also managed to stumble into Emile Smith-Rowe for my opening day team, which I regret, and I felt an immediate need to move him on for Ismaïla Sarr, who you discussed a lot in the last episode. And even if he blanked, I feel pretty comfortable holding him for this sort of little run of fixtures that Watford have after Tottenham. But yeah, I might save just because of the international break, even if there are, I mean, we're talking about how to use your transfers and stuff. Sometimes not doing things is the thing to do, because they do have a value transfers, and you're always going to look at your team in FPL and think there are a couple of players who you'd like to change or whatever. But I think you should ask yourself, is this player a huge problem? Like, do I have to change him, or is there someone I have to bring in? And there are a lot of players I would like to bring in, but I don't feel like there's anything I have to do right now.
That's quite a nice position. I have to do stuff with my team, so I'm quite jealous about that. What about you, Lee? What are you thinking?
I'm the complete opposite to Lars. I've gone and taken two free transfers this week because two of the key things that I try and do at the beginning of a season, one is I try and avoid price drops as much as possible. If I can get onto price rises, great, but I really don't want that value falling out of my team. And the second thing is if I spot value, I want to get onto the value picks as early as I can. So reluctantly, I have to say, because we talked before about the fixture swing for Arsenal in game week 4, I've taken out Smith Rowe and Ben White. Now, weirdly, Ben White might come back in for me next week, but I wanted to avoid that price drop that he was getting a couple of days ago. So the Arsenal boys are gone. And in their stead, I've bought in Benrahma because the next two for West Ham look sensational. We've already spoken about his relationship with Antonio, how well West Ham are playing, etc., etc. But at the back, I've also gone with Southampton's Tino Livramento. So at only 4.0 million in FPL, I think he is the 4.0 to have. There's some other options around. We've spoken about Simicass, although clearly with Robertson coming back, maybe his days are numbered. Amarty, similar because of Vestergaard coming in. I'm not backing Shane Duffy fully either in that Brighton team either. So Tino Livramento is coming in for me. He's the value 4.0 pick that I think we are looking for in FPL. So I've managed to avoid a couple of price drops. I've bought in some value, and I'm even considering captaining a West Ham player, which we'll talk about in a second this week. Although I don't think it's going to Benrahma. It's going to probably be Antonio, but we'll look at that in a sec.
Yeah, we'll talk captaincy in a minute. Adrian, have you done any surgery to your team?
I will do, but whenever I appear on this podcast,
not that I'm
always
saying
wait.
It needs surgery, by the way. That no, sounds like a always, massive insult. It wasn't meant like that.
When I'm on this podcast, I always wait because of the knowledge that I'm just soaking in.
Yes,
you see,
I
don't want to go too early. So, for me, it's quite simple this week. I had Kai Havertz in my team because I thought that he might play up front quite a lot, and since they've obviously signed Lukaku, and he was very deep. He was excellent against Arsenal, but quite deep. So Havertz is out, and I'm basically laying the groundwork for a move for Lukaku, I think. So it would be Benrahma or Rafinha. We haven't mentioned Leeds too much in the long view. Their fixtures are fantastic moving forward. So it's Benrahma or Rafinha for Havertz. To be decided in the next couple of hours, I think.
Don't forget, get those transfers done by 11 a.m. on Saturday. Very quickly, guys, who are your captains, Lars?
I'm on Antonio without wanting to steal Lee's thunder hair. I just think that's the best call with Salah having a very difficult fixture. You can cap Bruno Fernandes away to Wolves. I don't think that's necessarily a bad move, but just with Antonio and West Ham in tremendous form, playing a slightly wobbly-looking Crystal Palace at home, I think that, for me, is the place to go.
Yeah, I think a lot of managers will be doing the same. We've heard Lee say that. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, sorry to be boring, but yeah, Antonio's 100% getting the armband. Just love him at the moment. Love that smile, love that celebration, love his form. He deserves it. He deserves to leave my team out this weekend.
Who'd have thought we'd all be captaining Antonio?
Isn't it nice, though, to be not captaining one of the traditional big six? This is why the Premier League and FPL is so much fun. So a full house for Antonio captains this week and plenty of transfers being done apart from for Lars. Well, the very best of luck to all three of you. Thank you for joining me this week. And thank you to you all for listening. Remember, over on fantasy.premierleague.com, there is plenty more FPL gold, including the FPL show and plenty of other brilliant articles and videos. Our league code, a reminder for those not yet in it, is 1KIKS7. We look forward to seeing as many of you in there as possible. But for now, it's good luck and goodbye.